Morning Watch, the need for God's people to seek the Lord's direction and have the Lord's presence display his victory for the building up of his body and the spreading of his kingdom. Week 4. Friday related verses. Joshua 9:14. And the men took some of their provisions, but they did not ask for the counsel of Jehovah. 2 Corinthians 11:2. For I am jealous over you with the jealousy of God, for I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. John 3:29. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices with joy because of the bridegroom's voice. This joy of mine, therefore, is made full. Hosea 2:19-20. And I will betroth you to myself forever. Indeed, I will betroth you to myself in righteousness and justice and in loving kindness and compassion. Indeed, I will betroth you to myself in faithfulness, and you will know Jehovah. Revelation 19:7. Let us rejoice and exult. And let us give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Revelation 21:2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 22:17a. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Related reading. To study the Old Testament histories and prophecies, we need a full scope, a full view of the entire scriptures concerning God's economy for Christ and the church, which consummates in the New Jerusalem. My burden in this message is to apply this principle to Joshua 9, so that we may see the intrinsic significance of this chapter. The children of Israel were deceived by the Gibeonites because they were like a wife who forgot her husband. What they did here was exactly the same as what Eve did in Genesis 3. The subtle serpent wanted to tempt, to seduce Adam, yet he did not dare to go to him directly. Instead, Satan went to Adam's counterpart, a female, because he knows that it is easier to deceive a female. The Bible is a record of a romance in the most pure and holy sense of a universal couple. The male of this couple is God himself, and the female is God's redeemed people as a corporate being. The Bible shows us that we as God's elect are his wife, and that between him and us there must be a marriage union based upon mutual love. The universe, therefore, is a wedding place. The place where the husband, the processed and consummated triune God, is being joined in marriage to the redeemed, regenerated, sanctified, transformed, and glorified tripartite man. The husband is triune and the wife is tripartite, and thus they match each other very well to live together as the unique couple in the entire universe. This divine romance is revealed repeatedly throughout the Bible. After man fell, God selected one man, Abraham. This one, with all of his descendants, both Jewish and Gentile, became God's wife. In the Old Testament, God often refers to himself as the husband and to his people as the wife. Eventually, the Bible ends with the New Jerusalem as the ultimate consummation of God's elect in the new heaven and new earth, as the universal life for eternity. There were some bridal days, a period of time in which God courted Israel. By the time God had brought Israel out of Egypt to Sinai, surely she had fallen in love with this universal man, this unique hero. Whatever Israel wanted, he could do. What they needed, he had. He had the wisdom, the capacity, the ability, the strength, the might, the power, and the authority to do everything. I believe that when Israel arrived at Sinai, they made a definite determination to marry this one. A wife should never leave her husband. Rather, she should always rely upon him and be one with him. If Eve had kept this principle when Satan came to seduce her, she would have run away to her husband. That would have been her protection, her safeguard. Suppose I am a wife and a poor woman comes to me asking for some help. As a wife, should I do something directly on my own for this poor woman? Since this seems to be an insignificant matter, I might just give her a little money or some bread without asking my husband about it. This is what happened in Joshua 9. The Gibeonites came to Israel like a poor woman coming to a rich lady from a strong, high-ranking family. Israel, the wife, should have gone to her husband and checked with him. But Israel did not ask for the counsel of Jehovah. Instead, Israel was deceived by the Gibeonites and made a covenant with them. Once the people of Israel had made this covenant, swearing to the Gibeonites by the name of Jehovah, the covenant could not be altered, and the Israelites could not touch the Gibeonites.